Romans chapter 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we are going to read, about six verses. Reading from verse 22 of chapter 11. Bible says, "Consider therefore the kindness," say kindness. "And sternness," say sternness.
Sternness.
That's not a word we often associate with God, the sternness of God. So we're going to take a little time looking at that today. "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided," you could circle, if you get your Bible, you could just circle that "provided." That's a big old "provided" there. "Provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off." How many people here today want to get cut off? Oh, yeah, put me in the cutoff line. I think Pastor Scott was talking about the cutoff line. That's not the line we want to be in. So we're talking about some good stuff today. He says, "And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again after all. If you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I don't want you to be ignorant," he says. "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, 'The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them, I will take away their sins.'" Lord, we come to you this morning, thanking you, Lord, that we have not been hardened in our hearts, Lord, that there is yet opportunity for us to turn away, Lord, from lives that do not put a focus upon you, Lord, and line up on you and be grafted into your family, to be adopted in as your sons and as your daughters, to be called your children, and to line up on the inheritance of heaven. Lord, I celebrate that this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to fellowship one with another, Lord, that you bring provision, Lord, that we can eat, Lord, and celebrate your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you this morning, knowing, Lord, that we are a part of your family. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Are you glad you're in the family of God?
Yes.
It's a good feeling, amen? Better than being on the outs. Oh, much better than being on the outs. I was in my office yesterday. My printer is broken. And I was unable to print out my sermon notes. And so I was here studying away and had been doing stuff. And I finally sat down and was just cracking the commentary to make sure I wasn't preaching heresy or anything today. And in pops his head into my door. And this young woman, 26-year-old woman, Layla, comes into my door. And I'm like thinking, who are you? Just walking into my office. I got this new office over here. And it's got outside. And actually, little Raul was playing out there with some friends in the basketball court. And so I opened the door to just listen. Listen to their little voices. Want to make sure they were innocent. And I didn't hear anything that was offensive, and I was quite happy about that until Layla walks in. And she had this odd way of spelling her name. I really not got it right. So I might call her Leia or Leia. It was something like that. And she says, "I need some help." And it was fairly obvious she needed help. I mean, she had all these clothes on and all this stuff, and she says, I need a phone. They sent me over here from the YMCA. I'm running away from my boyfriend who's abusing me, and he has a gun, and he's coming after me. And I'm like, okay, let's see this phone number. And she begins to share this story of drama that originated in Louisiana. And she's just looking for shelter, and she is obviously in a lot of pain. She tried many times to get away from this guy, and he would invariably hunt her down and find her and take her back and beat her, and then began to threaten her with a gun, saying that he was going to kill her if she ever ran away and never came back. Pain in her life became real enough to make a change. New series in Life of Thanks. On our way to this Life of Thanks, Paul concludes his discussion. We've been talking about the Jews for the last several weeks, kind of on the edge. The Israelites, the children of God, lots of ways to refer to them. I'm going to use the term Jew today. I'd use that so that you guys can understand that I'm indeed talking about the nation of God. And there are prophecies and there are promises, promises to the patriarchs. And so I could call them the Israelites, but I think I just want to be able to connect with you on what I'm talking about. And so Paul is finishing this conversation about the Jews, and the question that Paul asks is, God done with the Jews? Are they too far gone? Because they had indeed rejected the Lord. They had indeed crucified the Lord. They had put him up on trumped up charges, the head of the temple, the high priest. They had people come in and lie on Jesus. And they had killed him. Paul tells us they might be done for now, but God's not done with them. They're God's people. He has a plan for them. And we struggle with that, in that a whole nation would be judged by God. And we ask, what about the individual? What about individual choice, man? I don't want to be lumped in with all these other people. I want to be, you understand what I'm saying? See, we in the Western culture, we want individual rights. We want individual opportunity. And so when we read these verses that talk about God treating a whole people in one way, we just cry out, unfair. This ain't right. Paul's going to bring that up in chapter 11. But we could ask a similar question about the Muslims. And I say Muslim, I had some of the youth talking, it's Muslim. Well, you ask a Muslim, they say Muslim. So anyway, that's all I say. What about the Muslims? God done with the Muslims? And we recently, we see a wholesale rejection of Christianity pretty much in Saudi Arabia, pretty much in the Middle East. People killing Christians, taking their stuff, going on in Africa. Pretty much. Muslims not caring much about our Lord Jesus Christ. God done with the Arabs. We'd say, no, man, Amran's going. God's reaching out. But there's not a whole lot of success of the gospel in those Muslim countries. God's not done. I read this week that ISIS lined up another 50 men, women, and children, shot them dead. They were Sunnis, wrong type of Muslim. And you think, why doesn't God just stop it? Why doesn't God just step in there and just vaporize all those ISIS guys? It's just not right. Amen, amen. Kind and loving God, how does he let 50 people get lined up and be killed like that? It's that pain that affords an opportunity for salvation. It's that pain of sin, their sin, the rejection of the Lord, people's sin around them, that causes them to look for answers outside of themselves. It is that pain that caused Layla to come into my office and looking for something more than what she had. And so often you take that pain away and you take away the opportunity. Amen? See, the Lord uses the situations. He uses the situation of the Jews. He uses the situation of the Muslims. And he uses the situation of a boyfriend with a pistol to make opportunity for salvation. Amen? Amen? title of today's message is An Opportunity for Faith. And we'll take a look at Romans chapter 11. Are we okay?
Woo!
All right, let's go. All right, back to back to verses 1 and 2. I ask then, Paul says, did God reject his people? And he answers, by no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. And what Paul is telling us is that God is indeed not done with the Jews. He says, if God were done with the Jews, he wouldn't be working through me. And if you read Acts chapter 9, you will see that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared to Paul on the way as he was entering into Damascus to persecute the church. He says, if he was done with the Jews, he would have never shown up and called me out of darkness into light. Amen? He says, I am a living testimony that God is not done with the Jews. He said, Elijah thought God was done with the Jews. Elijah lived at the time of Ahab and Jezebel in the northern part of the kingdom when they had fallen into idolatry and worshiping Baal. And Elijah, God's man, calls out to God and says, God, they're after me. There's no one left. Take them out. And he says, no, they're not all gone. They're pretty far gone. But they're not all gone. I have reserved 7,000 that have not yet bent a knee to Baal. They have kept and these guys were not perfect. You come in here today, you might not be perfect. Can I get a witness on that? But these 7,000, in all the drama that they were surrounded with, still had their eyes on the Lord. And all the drama that was around them gave them opportunity for faith. And as they exercised that faith, God says, in my mercy, I pull them out. And they are separate. They are my remnant. They are my people. Paul says, they're still a remnant. As far gone as the Jews are, God's not done with them. Amen?
Amen.
Pain makes an opportunity. And I'll tell you what, you take a look at the history of the Jews, anybody else got as strenuous a history as the Jews do? I mean, you look back through thousands of years of being oppressed by the Muslims, by the Arabs, by the Nazis, by everybody. Man, now, I mean, who gets attacked more than the Jews? And they get in trouble if they defend themselves. I mean, these guys are lobbing rockets over into Israel, and they shoot back where they're shooting from and hit a kid. Oh, my. Those guys lob into Israel, hit kid after kid after kid. Nobody cares. They're getting a bum rap. Anyway, that's none of my notes. Sorry. Let's go. Verses 7 through 10. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly. We've talked about how they were working so hard and how they were trying to line up on the Lord and how their sin would continually get them off track. He says, what Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor. Now, you don't often hear that priest, oh, God, send us a spirit of stupor. You know, we don't think about God giving stupor. He says, I so that they blind my eyes, Lord. We don't think about God sending, we think about God removing stupor and giving sight, but not taking sight away. But here God is giving stupor and taking sight away, ears so that they could not hear to this very day. That is quotes from Deuteronomy and the prophet Isaiah. He says, and David says, Psalm 63, I want to say 69. David says, may their table become a snare and a trap. Oh, that's what I want my table. You know, Thanksgiving, hey, snare and a trap. Come to my house. A table of retribution, a table of punishment. This is King David talking about the Jews. May their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. And you know what, folks? This is God dealing with rejection. This is God dealing with his people who turn away from him. Let their lives be a display of that rejection. Back in chapter 1 of Romans, he talks about the Gentiles exchanging the truth of God for a lie. That is a bad choice, folks. You got the truth of God, grab onto the truth. You grab onto the lie, and the Bible says that the Lord would turn you over to your sin. You see rampant sin going on around you. You see those guys in ISIS shooting up all those people. They are hardened. They are solidified in that sin. And you know people around you give no regard to God, and it just seems like they get worse and worse and worse in their sin. I'm not talking to anybody, because God would turn them over. And what he says here, he's doing the same thing to the Jews. Jews are being solidified in the rejection of God. Why? Make opportunity for the Gentiles. David says, let their tables be a punishment. Live lives of toil. When you reject the Lord, your life will show it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Leah, sitting on in my office, it's a smaller office now than my big luxurious office over there that turned into a library. And we begin to make phone calls to various agencies, this house and that house for battered women and for shelters. And we are we make it all the way up to Orange County. One lady says, there's no beds in San Diego. Try this place up in Orange County. And then she's doing research, and it's like 10 minutes this, 10 minutes that. And Leah begins to eat all the candy, the youth candy on my desk, you know. And she, you know, we're waiting for callbacks, and call me back in 10 minutes. And Leah just going into all this drama. She say, you know what, Leah, you just got to go sit outside for a minute. What are you doing me like this? I said, Leah, you are so full of yourself. You got no room for God. I said, you know, your life is a display of the pain that you have. And that pain would bring you to a point of surrender. You surrender your life to the Lord. You want no part of it. God will turn you over to your sin and then solidify you in it. I'm not going to let you just kind of ease in and out, get a little bit better. Why? You never feel it. Pain makes an opportunity. This girl is full of pain. All right. Jews were full of pain, but the kingdom is moving ahead. Romans 11, 11 and 12. Again, I ask, did they, talking about the Jews, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Amen. Got any Gentiles in the house? There we go. He says, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel, to make the Jews envious. See, we got the fellowship and the food and the worship and all that stuff. Why? So those people that don't have it can say, I want what you got. Amen? God wants you on display, wants his church on display. There's people around you lost and hardened in sin, and you are the only picture of God they have in their life. And God wants you looking good. Trying to work away the Jews here. He says, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious, but if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? God is working with open doors. You got an open door in your life. You are saying, God worked in me. Come on, let's do something. Let's get something done. Doors are closed with the Jews. Didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Cries out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to come to you, but you were not willing. I hope this morning that you are indeed willing to have the Lord come into your life. Paul was seeing great advance among the Gentiles. And you know what, folks? The pagan life was pretty disgusting. I mean, you take all the drama that's going on with ISIS, that kind of stuff was commonplace back in the day. Talking about Syria and up into Turkey, and they had been invaded and overrun time and time and time again for the 1,000 years before Christ came. Just a place of slavery and heinous treatment of one man to another. Did you read how, remember, Boko Haram, right? Am I saying that right? How they had kidnapped or taken the 200 schoolgirls? And, oh, we were going to go, we're going to get them girls. And the news came out today, all them girls have been married off. They have all been converted to Muhammad, and they're just having wonderful lives. Little Christian high school girls. All married off to nice Muslim men. Finding fullness of life. Pretty miserable back then. Pain makes an opportunity. Pain makes an opportunity for salvation. I'll tell you what, Lord comes near and you are just struggling. Gives you an opportunity to grab on. Amen. Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you come from. He just says he's looking at your heart. You want to find him? You want to find new opportunity? You ready to surrender all that you have? Trade it in? That sacrifice that Pastor Scott talked about be applied to your account. You become a child of God. Amen? Amen. Pain makes the opportunity that table of retribution, that table of punishment becomes a table that is set in the midst of your enemies. Amen? Bible says in Revelation, Jesus says, here I stand and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. How full of life it is when you surrender to the Lord. You can move from being hardened in sin to finding fullness with Christ. All it takes is complete surrender. He's knocking. Let's continue on. Romans 11, 17 through 22. Grafted into the plan of God. Paul gives us a very descriptive picture of the change that God offers. He says, if some of the branches have been broken off, he's obviously talking about a tree, talking about the Jews being the original tree of God, and that God is breaking those branches off and grafting in the Gentiles. He says, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. Do not boast over those Jews. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Watch out. Consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. Grafted branches. This is a tree. I hope you can see that. You can see that, right? See the yellow stuff? That is like tree medicine, all right? And you see the big fat stumps that have been cut off. And those are the original branches, and new branches have been grafted in. And this tree has been totally cut off from its original branches and has all new branches grafted in. And that is what Paul describes is happening with the Jews and with the Gentiles. That the Jews have been cut out of the plan of God and that the Gentiles have been grafted in. And how that grafting works, it's like tree surgery, that they make a cut and then they jam in, or I guess the best word is jam in, a branch that has been kind of tapered, and it goes right into that cut, and they put some of that yellow stuff around it and support it, and then it just begins to grow out. And that's what it is to be grafted in. Now, what Paul says is, here you see these surgically removed original branches. But Paul says the original branches were not cut off, but were broken off. And I have done, so anybody done pruning? I mean, you try and prune off, if you prune, just goes quick. I pruned off some of that tree up above the trash can the other day. But you want to break those things off, you know, you kind of bent, you try to do that, couldn't find your saw, couldn't find your thing, right? And you start, and you bring it back, and it looks like that. It looks like that picture, and you break it off, and then what do you got to do? You kind of go, and it takes you forever, right? Now, one thing I want you to notice is God breaks off a branch, it is incredibly more personal than him just taking a pair of snippers and snipping them off. Amen? I mean, God gets close. But for you to really break off a branch, you got to grab a dead branch. You grab a dead branch and you grab on that thing, what happens? It goes crack and just snaps off, just clean as a whistle. And that is an accurate display or description of the Jews. Dead. Dead to God, all dried up. And he comes along and just crack, crack, crack. Right out of the family of God. Cast off, hardened in their disbelief. And he says, don't let it happen to you. Because this is a picture of the sternness and the kindness of God. This, where new branches are being grafted in, that is a picture of the kindness of God. Oh, pick me, Lord. Pick me, Lord. Graft me into your family. But sternness, as he comes along to those dried out branches that do nothing, those branches that represent unbelief, and he grabs one and just crack. And Paul says, don't let that happen to you, because the Lord is paying attention. And if unbelief creeps into your heart, crack right out of the family of God. Cannot imagine a worse thing. Amen?
Amen?
Back to Layla. Found her a place in Lakeside. It's actually on the other side of Lakeside, kind of in the sticks. What was that place called, that canyon? Which one? Harbinger Canyon.
Harbison.
Man, it's in the middle of nowhere. Thought I was going to be lost. Talked to the guy, talked to a pastor friend of ours, and he said, yeah, I know a guy, he's got a four-bed shelter, and he's got nobody in it. Really? And I talked to the guy, his name was Sonny. He goes, let me call him first, and so he knows that you're a pastor and that you're for real. And so I called him, I said, hey, did Pete Contreras call you? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, hey, I got this girl. I said, she is so full of herself. She got no room for God in her life, but she's running from this guy. I said, if you want to talk to her, she's right here. She says, oh, yeah. Talk to her and talk to her for a little bit. And it's just so apparent. Nothing's her fault. Nothing's her problem. She hands me back the phone. I said, so you want her? I said, pack up your stuff. Let's go. And here's this girl going to a place she has no clue. Opportunity with God. Pain makes opportunity. question is, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Do you allow it to transform you? Or do you grab on the old life, refusing to give up? Prayed with her and the other lady, you know, I'm leaving. The other lady's going, pray with me. I'm like, okay. Pray with them and turned her over to God. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. All right. Back to the Jews. A preview of the end. Moving to verses 25 through 27. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may be conceited. Oh, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Now, he says, don't be ignorant. The kingdom can be complicated. Plan of God, we serve an infinite God. He's a complicated God. Sorry, it's not second grade material, folks. You do have to think and you do have to study. We call this that we are in now the church age. I had some stuff, some revelation stuff. I chose not to bring it today because we've been here a long time. But this is the church age. And when the full number of the Gentiles comes in, the church age will close. And there will be a shift in the plan of God back to the Jews. Israel's on hold right now. They are hardened in their unbelief. There are what you call, everybody ever heard of a Messianic Jew? Messianic Jews are converts, Jewish converts to Christ, to the Messiah, and they call themselves Messianic Jews. There are 150 Messianic congregations in Israel. We go, woohoo! Comprising less than 2% of the population. Hardly revival. Incredible advances in the recent years, going from 0% to 2%. Incredible growth. But when you take a look at the whole country and the whole population of Israel, the gospel, there is still a hardening in part that is happening amongst the Jews. Amen? You can rely upon the word of God. Now, there is a revival that is going to be happening. And we can go back to Israel. I'm sorry, we can go back to Ezekiel, chapter 37. God gives a picture of this. This is such great truth. This is the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Goes on to say, these bones are the house of Israel. It says, there's a deliverer that is coming from the Jews. For the Jews. Comes from Zion, comes from Jerusalem, and they will need a deliverer because the Antichrist will come at the end of the church age, and he will deceive the Jews, making them believe that he is the Messiah, and lead them right into the great tribulation. And they will need a deliverer. Amen? God is not done with the Jews. He has put them off to the side so that he can deal with you and I. Amen? Are we okay? Yeah? Want to see anybody falling asleep? Turn the air conditioner up. Make it even colder. The price makes opportunity. verses 30 through 33. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their, the Jewish, disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. And this is kind of where we struggle. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Say, what's up, God? You making me be disobedient? He says, I'm just keeping you where you are. I want you to get a good feel. I want you to get a good taste. See, you can come out of disobedience, and Paul was writing to those who had. He had come out of it himself. He knows there's a path out. But there's a price for disobedience. There is a price for rebellion. And God makes you aware of that price so that you can get out of it. God works with sternness, and God works with kindness, so all men can be saved. How does that work? Paul told us. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everybody has the opportunity to believe. You hurt bad enough yet? I woke up this morning, no doubt in my mind that Layla was lying. That there was no boyfriend. That there was no gun. One of the things that solidified it to me was she stank too much. Her clothes stank and she stank, and she didn't come running from some guy's house. She had been homeless for too long. And as we drove out to that shelter, the con was on. Now, this girl had pain. I don't doubt that she had been beat, and I don't doubt that she had been abused. But the whole way out, she was running a game. Hard to get saved when you're running a game. See, God would harden her in the game so that she could feel the pain. So that she'd become aware of the price. Thing she was scared most of was the rain. Rain's coming. Got to get a roof over my head tonight. Should have seen it. Maybe she'd come in here freezing cold today, saying, I need Jesus. That's the problem of saving somebody from the pain. Pull them out of the program of God. See, God hardened the Jews. Not going to let them out. Because one day there's a deliverer who's coming, and I don't want them to miss him. God has hardened the Muslims. There is a pain, the pain that is happening amongst the destruction that the ISIS army is passing out. Cause people to look beyond what they know. Oh, Lord. Those Sunnis that are being massacred, oh, Lord, where are you? And perhaps they would shift their focus to a Savior that comes even to them. Pain makes an opportunity. 23 years ago, I was hurting so bad. Like standing in a frying pan. Jumped out and said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. I felt the Holy Spirit come into my heart. If you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Lisa, you want to come up and play? The thankful life. I live it. I'm so thankful I have a wonderful wife. Children, going to drive up after church to see my daughter. She called me up and said, we're camping in someplace, San Clemente. Dad, come up. In my heart, I was saying, no, I don't want to. But I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
I'm so thankful to the Lord. I know many of you have been transformed by the pain in your life that you were sitting in the frying pan and jumped out into the arms of the Lord. But maybe some of you can really relate to Layla this morning. You're just running a game. Come to church, it's a game. And right now the Holy Spirit is just speaking right to your heart, so you're going to die in that game. You spend eternity in hell because you're going to lose that game. Maybe you're ready to quit. Maybe this morning you come into this church and you say, okay, Lord, you got me. I finally got it. Lord, I make complete surrender to you. But if not, and the Lord is speaking to you heart, this text would tell us that the Lord is going to solidify you in that sin. There will be no way to avoid the pain and the price of sin. And he does that to make an opportunity for salvation. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. 23 years ago, it got so painful, Lord. I had to get out. Lord, I thank you for so many that are in here this morning. I thank you for the kids coming to me this week saying, I need to get baptized, Pastor. The pain was so great. They jumped out of the frying pan into your arms. Maybe you are here this morning. The Holy Spirit is upon you right now saying, you're playing a game, you're going to lose. You got a losing hand. You got a losing position. I'm turning up the heat. You can jump out now or you can wait. It's up to you. And this morning you would say, Lord, I'm ready to jump. I don't want this anymore. I'll give you my complete life. I surrender everything to you, that you would give me new life and a new spirit and a new hope, that I can live a life of thanks. And nobody's looking around, but the Lord is on you in a way that perhaps you have never experienced in your life before. And he would say, this is you. Time to make a change. Time to jump. Nobody's looking around. The Lord's talking to you. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I'm ready to jump, Lord. Here. There. 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 There.